We're very honored to be able to screen White Sun. It's the winner of the Interfilm Award for promoting interreligious dialogue at the Venice Film Festival, the Silver Screen Award for Best Film at the Singapore International Film Festival, and the New Voices, New Visions Grand Jury Prize at the Palm Springs Festival. We're especially grateful to have the film's director, Deepak Raniyar, and its lead actress, Asha Magrati, with us tonight, too. Set in the aftermath of the Nepal Civil War and in a small mountain village, White Sun turns on a series of fraught, at times violent, oppositions that emerge after the death of the village chief. It shows how the conflicts of the war, the bloody armed conflict between government forces and Maoist rebels that took place between 1996 and 2006, ending the monarchy and establishing a people's republic, remain, even if in displaced forms, and continue to affect lives long after guns have ostensibly been put down. When his father dies, Maoist rebel Chandra returns to his remote mountain village after nearly a decade away. He finds himself united with a daughter he never met and revisiting uneasy relations with family members and neighbors, including his brother Suraj, who had supported the royalist government during the Nepali Civil War. White Sun has been described as a delicately crafted examination of Nepal's difficult rebirth after 20 years of war and unrest that sends a powerful message about the need for tolerance if Nepal is to overcome divisions that remain long after the Comprehensive Peace Accord of 2006. It's a beautiful, moving, and haunting film, and we hope you not only enjoy viewing it, but that you also can think with us about the difficulties that are often the signature of a nation at the crossroads. As Antonio Gramsci put it in his prison notebooks, in a passage that speaks about the difficulty of moving from the past into a future, the crisis lies precisely in the fact that the old is dying and the new cannot be born. In the interregnum, a variety of morbid symptoms appear. White Sun is a wonderfully smart presentation and analysis of these symptoms in an area of the world that has only relatively recently been the subject of contemporary cinema. Deepak Raniyar is the first Nepali director to compete in a prestigious international film festival. His debut, Highway, premiered at the 2012 Berlin International Film Festival, and White Sun is his second film, and it's been screened in over 70 international film festivals. He's an alumnus of the Berlini Talents and Rotterdam Labs and of the Cannes Cine Foundation program. Asha Magrati is the female lead of White Sun, which I mentioned earlier. She's the daughter of an ex-British Gurkha. Magrati, she grew up in an army camp where movies were screened every weekend. Her first role was in a theater play when she was only 13, and she's since acted in numerous plays, TV shows, and films. She acted in Threshold, 2009, which premiered at Cannes, and then in Highway, 2012, which premiered at the Berlin International Film Festival, and she opened the MoMA Contemporary Asian Cinema Series. She's an alumna of Berliner Talents also, and is also a casting director in Nepal. So enjoy the film, and then we look forward to talking to everyone together here in a bit.
A lot of my friends were affected by war. A lot of my friends joined, like in both sides. Because my classmate, one was Maoist commander who got killed, his father got killed. And a lot of my clothes were really like in between. My parents were forced to like at least give one of the son. I have one brother, and Maoists were interested to get at least one of us into the army. But I managed to bring brother to the college outside, so he didn't join, and they didn't talk to me either, because I was a print journalist by then. I was reporting, and then I joined radio. I started do for the journalism for radio, and I had a connection with them. I used to speak with them all the time, but I didn't have to, like, really, because I was also in town, so I was not affected by that. So by the time like I finished the college and I moved to capital to work on the media, the war was ending in 2006. And the conversation after the war in the country, like, we are not the society where like we talk politics on the dinner table. We don't really talk about what happens in our daily lives. like Muslims, and dinner is not something that you celebrated in a way like you see in the West, where you at least dress up, sit together, and talk the daily updates. We don't have that kind of relationship with the parents and others. Most of the times, you are not allowed to ask a lot of questions as a children growing up. You are not in the society where even asking questions to your teacher, sometimes teacher can get offended. So you be quiet on that kind of environment of society. So after the Wind War finished and discussion started to happen in society, it slowly changed into where the elite started to manipulate the discussion in a way that war was happened for nothing, and we lost life for nothing, and that it was all wrong, and the Maoists really used it, the environment, and we didn't gain nothing. And that became kind of like scenario of like talk in the country, in the, what mainstream media and the people would talk about it. So that was kind of like, I was working as a full-time journalist, then I was interested in cinema by that time, and I had worked in a couple films as an assistant, and came back to join BBC to produce dramas for them. In 2009, I joined them, and on 2007, I joined them, BBC, in the meantime, when war was just finished. And I was traveling with BBC all like these villages, meeting people, interviewing them, and also producing radio dramas in real time, like most of current affair dramas. And the stories were very different than what the narratives was being like brought into the country. And that always felt wrong for me, like what our mainstream media wanted to talk about, or what our elites wanted to discuss about. So I was thinking, like, how to bring this experience, like, on the film itself, and at least to make a record that people from long years from now could come back and watch and see, like, what was society like at that time. So that was when we started to think about the story. And interestingly, as I was doing a promotional documentary in 2009 for a spinally rehabilitation center, and she happened to capture a conversation between the two soldiers from two different sides, like a Maoist and army, a government soldier. Both had fought in different sides of the war. Both had fought the same battles in a lot of places, but had kind of very different realities of the battle. They had very different perspective. Also, the details of the battle was very different for them. And that really struck me. I was helping to edit that documentary for her, and it really struck me. And we started to have a conversation about making it in film, and we even wrote a draft early in 2009. But that, at that time, didn't get like interested to anyone for money or anything. And my other project got funding. So Highway became my first feature, because I used to work for BBC until 2010, and I resigned BBC in 2010 for us to build a company together and then start making films. So Highway became the first film, and end of 2012, when the first film was premiered in Berlin and it started to do the festival circuit, we were free, and then I started to think about the second feature and what's and how the Watson started to be. We started to rewrite. So my editor in Highway was David Barker. I liked him, working with him. And by that time, I had already connected with Jocelyn and the Danny with my project. Highway Days came as a co-producer. So Joss especially worked with me in the very beginning of writing the White Sun. And the main purpose of me was to, because this conversation was not happening in society, and a narrative of war was being driven in different way in the society. So I wanted to bring that experience of people on screen. Also, the conversation that was not happening in society, because this generation of us not communicating. So goal was actually to bring these three generations of us, children that was born after the war, and generation of me, like Agni, Durga, Shuruz, from different sides, and generation of our parents, like Chitra's friend, to bring together and force them into a conversation and see what happens. And that was the main goal of the whole project. And we built a story around it. We had this character, two characters from the hospital story that she had captured. So that became a brother into the story. We integrated them and they looked for the family. And we went on research. And that's how we formed everything together. And the villages that we have been seeing, like my village, other villages that we were traveling, we wanted to adopt it in the village, not in hospital. And so to also to reflect the current scenario of the country. And the story kept evolving. And when we, even like a lot of things came into the film in last minute during when we were shooting, we actually planned to shoot in like May or something in 2015. Because it took a long time for us to fundraise also. Like we started 2012 late, but took about three years more to fundraise, make a good amount that we could shoot. And so when we were shooting 2015, we're about to shoot and big earthquake happened in the country. More than 10,000 were killed. And so village we were thinking about shooting it, we had to abandon. There was no village anymore after the earthquake. So we had to push the shooting for 6 months and relook for the location that we had already spent so much time looking for it and found these places that you see in the film now. Because we had also offered, a lot of people were also pushing, giving ideas that why don't you mix, do it, shooting into the earthquake, happen village, and that could also help us to fundraise in some way. But for me, it was more not about the earthquake, this natural disaster, but something that we amendment, created disaster of the country and how it affected us and how we're living it. Also, I was really interested in looking into silver lining of the war and what had really changed us, why war happened in the first place, and all these inequalities in society, the discrimination, and how we're living today and how we're reflecting on it and first kind of conversation about it. So that's how we built about it, and we shot in this village in 2015. And that we had just after the earthquake what international NGOs and our elite in Kathmandu pulled together and brought is was they had not been we had a first constituent assembly election after the war in 2008. Yeah, and that couldn't write the constitution. So it was dissolved and new constituent assembly was elected. And earthquake after the earthquake, they managed to push, created a good time to push a constitution that was a kind of backward step than what we already have after the war as an interim constitution. Interim constitution was much progressive than our real constitution that we got. And yeah, so they, after the earthquake, they pushed everyone together, and that they used that time to bring the constitution because no one will fight back. Because that was a good emotional manipulating time that you could push people to accept anything you would bring. So they redefined the secularism in a way, it's a Hindu secularism. They redefined a lot of things, they took away rights from mothers who could have passed the citizenship to the children, and they changed a lot of things. And now, that's why I decided to put the constitutional process on the backdrop and set the story in that 4 days. So that we, decision that we did in very kind of end of the, close to shooting, to put that radio and the whole series of movement that was happening in the backward of the society, in the southern plains of the country where the dark skin population were fighting against the constitution. And because the constitution didn't promise them the federalism they were looking for. Because one of the interests for people was that because Nepal is very diverse country with a lot of different languages. In ethnicity, still we have 123 spoken languages today. And people, and for long years, the country was forced to be one religion, one language, one nationality. And that did not work, one of the reasons for the war. And people were trying to address demand in a way to have a federal state where you can have some liberty of your language, some liberty of your ethnicity and culture. And that was main reason for federalism, but elite managed in a way to not to give that right to federalism. And that's what was the anger around it. So we tried to capture that a bit through the radio, but we set up Plym in like where mostly like this war happened. The village that was reflects the where the most of the Maoists were powerful and the war was happening. So that was the one, and also it reflects in a way of like our identity as Nepal. So that's why we shot in that kind of village.
Asha, I was hoping I could ask you a question. You have like you have been a theater director, a casting director. You're, of course, the actress, the feature in the film. Can you talk about the casting of the children and also the way that the film is almost filmed from the perspective of the children who have inherited a damaged world and struggle to reconcile themselves to this world? Could you talk more about children in the film, casting them, their... How they fit into the larger narrative, and also what it was like to work with, I guess, children who weren't trained actors. So.
Thank you. It was a very long process. The casting was a really long process. When we are writing the scripts, so we already started to think about characters and casting. So whenever we visit in Nepal, we started to look actor and especially when I go around the village, I start to see the people, maybe, you know, if I can find interesting people. And all the time when we go to see the locations at village, so I at the time also I try to find the actors, the characters, and it's children's. Every time when we go to village, I go to school and choose the kids from the schools, and I did little small workshop with them. So I try to find the characters from those kids, and even in city also I have been many schools, I try to find kids from city also. I tried as much as possible, and it is little bit hard to find elders character in Nepal and children's, because we don't have that much big industry. Yes. So, and the other things we have to find we have to see the cast also. We have to find the same, you know, the upper cast character actor also. Yeah, same cast also.
As characters,
and it was a little bit hard to find them. And but these three elders, uncle, the priest, and two uncle, they are actor, professional actor. Yes, and Suraj and Chandra, they are also professional. And but all the kids and rest of the elders and other people, they are a non-actor. They are from the same village. And I choose some children from city also, and I did workshop, but you know, they are very different than village children, obviously. And I did some workshop at village also, where the shooting place. So I collect some of the children over there also. But still, I was not satisfied with them. And this Badri character, I found him in village, and I saw something very potential with his expressions. So we decided to bring him in Kathmandu City for a week to stay with us and to know him more and to make him familiar with us and to give him more environment. So we brought him in city and we did more workshops with other children to make him familiar. And we found he's so great and so natural. And then we found, I mean, this character lives and his real lives is same. Yeah. He doesn't have his father. Yeah, his mother abandoned him when he was small. So actually he didn't have house to live properly. He was living with sometime aunts and friends and neighbors like that. And he was doing potter also same time. Less school because, you know, he doesn't like to go to school. He was like very wild. He can't go anywhere. So we found him. So we cast him. And he is so great. He so many dialects he create himself. Like that, I don't think I'm a human, something. Yeah. I'm a porter. Yeah, I'm a porter, not human. Yes, he did himself. Yes. Yes. And the puja character, the daughter of Durga, first we chose from the city, and we thought we can change her when we take her in village, so mixing with the other villager kids. And after 15 days shoot, we couldn't, we couldn't make her. So we have to replace her. So this puja was already with us, with the extra children, so we choose her. It was really, really hard time because to change her. So, yes, all those pleasure people, and especially this small village, from ethnicity, they are very different ethnicities people. Like they are Gurung backgrounds, and so we had to brought elders like the same caste characters. They actually, my English, they are very far from, I'm sorry. they had to walk like hours and 2 hours to get the place, to get the shooting space. And it was really hard for them, but they were very excited first 2 days and 3 days. After 4-5 days, they get bored. Yeah. They started to get bored, and they stopped to come. And every day we were losing the characters. And sometimes, you know, blazer people, they shaped their bear, shaped very nicely, and come with nice clothes and the suit because we need a real blazer people. But it was really great experience with them. And I cast myself. I think so. It was really privileged to do the Durga's character. I mean, it was really great opportunity for me. Because Durga is the character, I mean, the real character after the war. And then the war gave her new birth. Before the women, didn't have any right to speak, and they couldn't lead the house. But during the war, all men left house and home village, so women has to take over, and they have to hold the house. And so they started to get decisions for house and for people, and she she has daughters without father, and before it was impossible to have kids without father. So she is doing really great decisions. She wants to live with her daughter, and so yes, so give great good education for her daughters. So it is really great. Actually, after the earthquake, we have to change many characters, many actors. So it was very short time to find the Durga. Thank you.
Deepak, the film is so intimate, right? I know you used a handheld camera, and there's not that much distance, right? We walk with everyone down that hillside, and we experience so much. Can you talk about that aspect of the film, the cinematography and the intimacy that was perhaps formerly the result of the handheld camera, but also an intentional aspect?
Yeah. I didn't want the film to be something that you experience from the far. I wanted audience involvement in it, like you feel you are there, you're walking with them. So I decided to do it in handheld. That was the only best way. Also, I don't like using so much equipment on the set. Since I started to make my... I didn't go to film school, so I didn't come from that background of... Also, my interest when I started as a journalist, I started to work on the film, was very minimal equipment on the set. And I like less complicated sets. And I improvise with actors. I don't give them particular line to speak, so I work with actors particularly differently, improvising the line that suits them best. So sometimes singly, like working with Durga separately, or like working with Agni and Durga together in a workshop, and finding that tune, what works for them, and noting it down. So that also requires me to have not very restricted set, where you ask actor to turn around and turn do this and do that. I want the actor to be natural and perform. So I needed some flexibility. And I wanted to be close and audience to experience it. So that was the reason that I wanted to shoot in handheld. And so I was looking for DP who could really do it. And Mark Ellum, he's an Irish Canadian. He used to live in Toronto, now he's living in Montreal. And he was doing another film for Louverture, like This Changes Everything, that film about climate change and happening. That's where I met him in 2013 or something. So we had a conversation about it. And he was quite interested. And he was really great on handheld. And he could do really 15-minute shot without moving anything. So he was really great. And you can imagine like that path going up and down. And doing a handheld on that camera on that path is extremely difficult. And he was very good at that. And he did manage to capture it. So that was kind of like intention to do it. And also you don't see much of like piss in the film. We're trying to be in the back of the camera, a character or something, like not really forcing audience to feel in a particular way, but creating environment where you can relate to from the background that you're coming from and how you relate to it. So that's, I feel happy about some, like how when we travel with films, like we are in last 2 years, we have traveled so much everywhere and find very interesting like how people relate to it. Like somewhere here, people relate to the civil war or the political divide in the family now. So I've met a lot of people that who thinks that it's really happening, feels like really happening here because political divide is same here in the families and they're talking. I just got message 2 days ago from someone living in DC, and she's from Vietnam, and she was watching a film, and she totally related to it, to be in Vietnam, and that I feel privileged and I feel happy about it. For Annapurna is our Himalaya, it was 8,000 above, and was a very popular trekking route. So the village that you see in the film is called Ghandruk. And most of the like shooting has happened there. People do live there, but a lot of people who is living there now are not the who owns the house. Most of the people who owns the house are away. So people from the up in the mountain has come to take care of the houses, and other people are taking care of the houses there now. But there are also like villages where you see, like, we sort in 5 villages to bring it all together. And there are villages where you have like 125 houses, 200 houses, and only 3 or 5 is occupied and no one else is living. So it's both now happening. And in this film, there are a lot of people from the village. And also, as Asa was talking about earlier, because it's typically Gurung ethnic village, and we needed people who look like Aryan with big nose and big eye and other kind of like, because characters were from very different ethnicity. So we had like people coming from different villages around. Some people even travel in the shooting day for 3 hours, come for shoot, but they don't want to stay a night with us because they had chose work at home, so they wanted to go back and only come when we have next shooting again. So they would travel back and forth. So we had a mix of people, and also we had an actor from, professional actor from Kathmandu. Obviously they also are from the different part of the country, but they're living in Kathmandu, so they also traveled with us to the village. So for us, like, it's kind of like interesting experience itself, because one thing what we had done with I had done with Asad on casting was trying to find the actress actually who believes, comes from the similar political beliefs of as a character. And we put people together and ourselves together with them and try to create a conversation for among ourselves. And that was quite fascinating. Like, it really moved and helped us to understand each other in a way, because I was really trying to, struggling myself to understand the elders like Frist. Why wouldn't he let go the beliefs and why wouldn't he work like in the logic? And also it was interesting to understand his fear and fear of his generation. And working with children was amazing at the same time, because they didn't go through the war, but they are the one who is also suffering from the effect of the war going through. So it was interesting, like Asa was also earlier mentioning, like the character who plays Badri, he's like a porter, has worked with all everything, he has seen everything, most of everything. So improvising with him, like, I only needed to create environment for him and he would play the scene. So like he would bring out details and sometimes like interesting dialogue, like, I'm a porter, I'm not a human, kind of. And it was really helpful. And I feel like we had impacted each other's life by the time we finished the shoot.
The film in a way models or enables a space of dialogue. You were just talking about this, how you cast individuals along the lines of their political perspectives. So the film, like, in a way, carves out a space for dialogue and in a way enables something like a conversation and a process of reconciliation that doesn't seem possible in society. So can you talk more about that? I mean, like, you were working on this film for many years, during which the political process did not produce a constitution, reconciliation was not talked about, not possible. The film seeks to, in a way, right, model some possibility of reconciliation, some hope for justice, even if it's deferred in the film till the very end. So can you talk more about that?
Society like us, where you don't really have a dialogue with anyone, and you don't talk about the difficult subject. Like, even for me, like in day-to-day life, there are a lot of things that I can't talk with my friends because it creates a conflict. And then you stop speaking and you had a bad relationship. So cinema is one of the medium where you could really freely talk about it and encourage in a way for the dialogue. So I've always felt cinema more than cinema. Like, it's not only cinema for me. It's not only the medium of entertainment. It's more than medium of entertainment where you can really truly do something that is not possible with any other media. Like, newspaper can write about something, but cinema can create an experience and really can bring you there to feel that. So that was one of the interests for me, like, why I came into filmmaking. And that was, for this one particularly, was that particular thing, like, where it was not happening in society. And we were not talking about it, these things. And mainstream society, especially elite in Kathmandu, who controls a lot of media, most of our national media, they were already talking about, like, you were mentioning earlier that war was really bad and this happened, this shouldn't have happened, we lost 17,000 lives, give nothing. In the narrative already we're moving forward, and we don't even talk anymore about a lot of issues that war was talking and address that. We just discrediting the movement and discrediting all the agendas that movement created. So for me, like, was important to do this film where you can address the agenda in some way and see in a, like, ground level how that affects someone's life. Like, agenda of citizenship. Like, we're in the 21st century today, and still a woman like Durga has to find a man to prove her birth. That man has no relationship. Yeah, man wouldn't know, like, if she does not tell them who the father is. And still the law requires the man to prove it. So I wondered, like, people, we had like mother's movement for a long time happening in the country, but a lot of people don't find how to relate to it. So I wanted to, in a way, simplify it and create an experience where people can relate to character like Durga and understand the problem of her. So a lot of people, when we screened the film, a lot of people came to us, say, like, how, like, they had not gotten the issue that is so serious, and now they understand it. So that was, we felt like a win situation. And same with, like, understanding the elders, understanding the, like, younger, like, character like Agni, the frustration of Agni and the problem of Agni, like Agni, who thought that he could really change the society, believed in equality, but he is left in middle now. Neither he can go for his leader, who now flies in a helicopter, and nor he can go to the people that he said that he will change the society for. They don't believe him either. So he is left nowhere. And he doesn't know. And a lot of, I think, Maoist army guerrillas that I interviewed and met with were in that kind of situation. So I want to reflect that, bring that as well, and record that in the process. And also for ourselves itself, like, was conversation happening was important, and it really changed me, and I believe it changed a lot of other people, and that was important.
Asha, can you talk a little bit about how it changed you? Was it therapeutic to take on the role that you did? Was what was the process like in relationship to that conversation?
When we were visiting the village, so I got a chance to talk with the women, other women also, and I was inspired by them also. You know how they, from their life. It was really inspired. I was really inspired from them. So it helped for my characters. There was a many. We have a lot. We have a big caste system also. We have a lower caste also. So it really helps. Helped us. Helped other people. So I'm so happy to present. You know, those characters. And in my real life, it didn't really affect me, because I used to live in village, but I moved in Kathmandu for acting class. So I started to live in Kathmandu, but still when I visited my family, so I saw the other people. Even in my family also, my sister-in-laws, my aunts, they always have to stay home, and, you know, under the man's rule like that. But now it's changed. Nowadays, the women also can go to abroad to work there, and men is staying at home and with kids, and the women are earning money and sending back in Nepal. It's really changed these days.